says there in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, after this manner therefore pray ye. So God's saying, hey, I want you to pray like this. This is how I want you to pray. It's our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we first need to come to God in awe. We looked at that a few weeks ago, that just recognizing him, that he is holy, that he is God in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we looked at last week, us being surrendered to God's will in our prayer life. When we come to him, we need to be willing to do what he directs us to do, what he tells us to do, surrendered and willing to follow God's will. And look, God's will is not some like spooky thing that you can't know. I mean, he wrote it down for us. This is it. This is his will. He's going to tell you what he wants you to do in here. When you follow what he puts in here, then he'll start to lead you specifically to do the things that you need to do. But first, you need to obey what's already in here, what you know to do. You might not know everything this says. That's okay. Obey what you do know that it says. Obey what you do know. But we have to come to God in our prayer closet. We need to be surrendered and willing to do what he's leading us to do, what he's telling us to do. Verse 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then we get to verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We're coming to him, we're praying, we're asking him for some things. Just now we are asking, some of the men in church prayed for that. And we get to verse 11 and it says, give us this day our daily bread. And really, as we look at these things, we need to approach God as he is, as holy, in understanding who he is. And then we come to him, surrender to his will. And then the next thing is, give us this day our daily bread. But it's just like a little touch that's just right there. God doesn't, see, so often our prayer time can be like, Lord, I need this, 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 and this, 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 and this. And I'm guilty. I mean, I've been there. I've done that. You know, where my prayer time's all about the needs that I have. But when Jesus Christ lays down the model prayer and the pattern in which we're to follow when we pray, he just touches on it. Give us this day our daily bread. He's talking about just the needs. I mean, that's all. He just hits that thing and moves on. He says, don't spend a lot of time there. See, there's a time for us to ask for things. But it shouldn't be the focus and the majority of our prayer time. See, most of this is really dealing with us following God, doing what he wants. And if we follow God, we follow the pattern that Jesus Christ laid for us. His life was a life focused on others, on helping other people. So it's not that God doesn't want us praying for our own needs. He does. Obviously, I mean, he tells us that. We'll see that in other places where he talks about that throughout the Bible. You can see that in other places, that he asked for things. Ye have not because ye ask not. Amen. There's time for that. I mean, ask for it. You don't have it, you need it, ask. Amen. I've seen God come through. I've seen God provide for me in miraculous ways. I mean, people can argue against it however they want, but man, it was a miracle. I mean, nobody else knew I had a need. Amen. And God met it. I mean, man, I love the story that this building that you're sitting in, amen, is an answer to prayer. I didn't even have enough faith to pray for this building. So God, just give us a building. I didn't have enough faith to do that. I said, God, give us somewhere to meet. And my weak little faith was like, okay, at best, it'll be a storefront, which would be like, you know, all the, you see like a strip mall, there's all these different, you know, businesses and stuff in there. Maybe we could get in a storefront. At worst, we might meet in a school. All right, that's what I was thinking. That's when I prayed, God, give us somewhere to meet. That's how big my faith was. It was little, wee little faith just asking for God to give us something. And God said, I've got something better for you. I'm going to give you a building. Here you go. And I'm telling you, man, it came with all this that you see for the most part. I mean, we fixed it up, we painted it, we made it look nicer. But really, pretty much what you see, this was here. I mean, this baby grand piano. I mean, these, I don't know how much, I think they're like $10,000 for one of these. These aren't cheap, and God just put it here. I don't know how much this building's worth, but more than I could afford, amen? I mean, God, you have not because you ask not. So it's not that God doesn't want us to ask. God wants us to ask. He said, come to me, ask. Ask, seek, knock. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's come. Come on, the importunate person going to God, just keep going and asking. I mean, that's what God's saying. Keep coming to me. But we're so stubborn sometimes, we got to get in a situation where we have to pray. We're like, oh, my back's against the wall. I have nothing else I can do. I guess I'll pray now. Man, that's the wrong response. But sometimes God says, you're not going to listen to me until you get this. All right, I'm going to put you in that situation. And then we're finally our backs against the wall. And we're like, God, what do I do? Help. Okay, he's like, finally you came to me. That's all right. You know, why go through all that? I don't know. We're dumb. I mean, I've done it before too. I don't know why we do it, but we do. But so it's not that God's against us asking for things. But when we go into our prayer closet, it's of utmost importance that we recognize our need of His presence and daily provision. And that's really what the essence of this is in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Man, that's all needs, not wants. All needs, not wants. Think about that. I mean, I've heard so many people say, I would die without my phone. I can't live without my phone. Is that really a need? Or is that a want? I mean, I don't know. I was on Facebook earlier and I saw someone had shared a video. I didn't know what it was, so I clicked on it. It was like a minute long or something. And it's this dad. I don't know if it's real or not. I mean, the video was real, but I don't know if it was legit. It had to have been in a foreign country because they were speaking Chinese or something. But this dad walks into his son's room with a sledgehammer. And he just grabs that thing and he just looks at it and he just picks up that sledgehammer and starts just bam, bam, bam. He just starts hitting whatever video game system his son had. And he starts beating that thing and his son's trying to push him off of it and everything else. And then after the dad leaves, I mean, he destroys the video game system. He destroys the television. And the dad just like walks out, drops the hammer, sledgehammer, and just walks out. And the kid, like, I mean, man, he's like 17 years old. He starts throwing a fit. I'm like, seriously, a fit? Like crying, grabbing his head, rolling back and forth. Like he doesn't know what to do now. Like his life is absolutely over. He's like, oh, I have to have that. It's such a need. I can't live without it. No. No, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. I mean, it's just, I like it. I mean, that's good stuff right there. That's parenting. Amen. Sometimes those hard-headed kids don't want to listen. Man, you're like, what? Well, sometimes God deals with us like that, though, too. Ouch, huh? Amen. Because He says those hard-headed kids don't want to listen. But look, we get so mixed up on what our wants and needs are. And God says, look, I'll take care of your needs. You come to me about your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what He says. Come to me about your needs. So let's not confuse wants and needs. And again, I'm not saying don't ask for things. Amen. Ask away. But don't let that consume your prayer time. Don't let it be all about the things that you want, the things that you desire. I mean, hey, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. Just delight yourself in God. Be joyous to be with God, to know God, to walk with God, to get to serve God. And God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. I take that two ways, and I think it means both of them. You can argue with me if you want. That's fine. You take it however you want. But when God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, I take it to mean either He's going to give you what you want or He'll change your desires and give you the desire to want what's right. I think it's both. Just delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of thine heart. Just love God, serve God, and watch. He's changed my desires. Amen. Praise God for that. Thank God for that. Amen. He's changed my desires. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to recognize our need for His presence and daily provision. This is taken from John Phillips in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. He said this, in the model prayer, there's just one brief mention of our physical and material needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We do not have to dwell on our needs because God knows all about them. Analysis of our own prayers will often reveal preoccupation with the material side of life. Material requests are to be kept in their right place and proportion. Look, as we analyze our prayers, is it a preoccupation with the material things of this world? You know, Lord, I need that new car. Do you? Or do you want it? You know, is it something you truly need? And is God leading you to really want that? I mean, this is the type of stuff we have to ask ourselves. But God says something here. Give us this day, just today, our daily bread. As far as I know, no one in here has had to pray and ask God to, God, feed my family today. It's been provided for us. Thank God for that. But the danger with that, though, is that we tend to neglect seeking God and depending on Him. There's a big danger. Big danger for American Christianity is because we are so blessed. You compare us to the rest of the world, we're filthy, stinking rich. We are filthy, stinking rich. Everybody in here. Every one of us in here. And the danger in that is that we become self-reliant, which is the American way, right? And we don't depend on God. We don't trust in the Lord. And we're not willing to sacrifice or give anything for Him because it's all about me. Well, I mean, we just talked about, hey, Brother Thornsley right here. It doesn't have to be about our church, the need that they have to get a building, a permanent location that they can meet in. And I said, well, pray about it. What can you do for it? Well, I mean, we got to go over here on vacation this summer and do this. So that money's already put aside. And well, you know, we've got to get a new car, got to remodel the house or whatever it is. And look, I'm not against that stuff. Do it. But is God leading you to maybe sacrifice something for His kingdom? For the eternal? Because you go through the Sermon on the Mount, you get a little bit beyond that. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves don't break through and steal. Eternal rewards. But sometimes that means we're going to have to sacrifice some of our wants. Some of the things that we want and desire. That's when it comes down to, hey, God, you provided for my daily needs. Now, how can I give back to you? How can I give back to you? It amazes me when people, I know preachers that will preach against tithing. They're like, oh, tithing's not biblical in the age of grace or however you want to call it, the dispensation we're in. Tithing's not biblical. I'm okay. I think it is. But if you don't, that's fine. We're under grace. Praise the Lord. We are. Amen. And you look under grace, God expects more of us under grace. Yeah. So praise the Lord. You don't believe in tithing? Amen. Come here. Come to this church then. Because God kicked everything up a notch under grace. We're not under the law. That's a requirement of the law. All right, whatever. I won't get into that. I'll teach on that another time. We'll deal with that monster. But anyway, I don't think it's a monster. Amen. And my family's been giving over 10% for years. I think 10% is a base place to start in your Christian giving. That's the very beginning. That's baby steps. I mean, your baby down here. Ground level of Christianity is giving 10% back to the Lord. Ground level. But we're under grace. Well, okay. You know, under the law, it was don't commit adultery. Under grace, it's you look with lust, it's adultery. It's way higher than just don't commit adultery. So you say, oh, I'm 10%. Oh, you're giving 30%? 40 what? Preacher, you're not supposed to talk about money. You're money hungry. Sure I am. That's why I quit my job that I had. That's why I pulled out my retirement so my family could start this church. Sure, I'm money hungry. I had somebody accuse me of that. Man, that's just crazy. You're going to become a preacher so you can get rich? Like, what are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about. That's the last thing. Amen. I'm not going to get rich doing this. I can promise you that. Amen. I don't even know how I got off on money. Somebody must have needed it. Amen. But I'm telling you, look, give to God because you love God. That's why you do it. We give above 10%. I won't tell you what the percentage is, but we give above 10% because we love God. That's why. You know what that's meant? Maybe we can't get a new car. Amen. Haven't been able to. But God's taking care of us. God's taking care of us. I mean, in miraculous ways. I've tested Him enough. You know, He said it. Go to Malachi 3. We're here. We may as well just hit on it. Go to Malachi 3. It's right before Matthew. I'm not going to teach on tithing. I'm just going to give you a principle here. Malachi 3 verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Who's going to rob God? No Christian would rob God, right? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Well, where have we robbed thee, God? What does he say? In tithes and offerings. Oh. It's not just tithes, it's offerings too. That's above and beyond, by the way. In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Again, he is speaking to Israel. The principle's there, though. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. There it is, test me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He says, prove me, test me. God's telling us, test me. See if I won't do it. See if I won't come through. And I'm challenging you, test him. Amen. Test him. Try him. I've done it enough to know he comes through. I've done it enough to know we don't have money to pay the bills, God. Do I tithe? And I put it in the plate and God took care of it. Amen. I've seen him do it more than once. So now it's easy. Now he's going to take care of it. He always has in the past. He's going to take care of it. But you got to prove him now. You prove him. You test him. You go to God and say, God, give me this day, like my daily bread. I can't pay the electric bill, God. Help. Help. God, my 3-year-old baby has cancer. Has a brain tumor. Help. Help. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily needs. God wants us daily dependent on Him. God wants you daily dependent on Him. How many times have all of us gone through the day and not really given much thought to God? As saved people. I know most of us, for the most part, everyone in here is going to think about Him throughout the day. But are we loving Him with all our heart, soul, mind? Is He everything to us that day? Or did circumstances of life come through and get in the way? And we aren't thinking about Him. We're not dependent on Him. We might think about Him even, but are we depending on Him? Are we trusting Him to lead us? So I'm telling you, look, you start sharing the gospel with people. You want to get dependent on God, start sharing the gospel with people. Start trying to witness to your coworkers. To your family. Start trying it. And you're going to see, you're like, God, I need your help. Please give me an open door here. Amen. Lord, how do I do this? When? What do I say? You're going to find out real quick how dependent you need to be on Him. Okay. And you need His leading. And when He leads you, you're never going to want to do it. For the most part. I mean, sometimes, but for the most part, you're going to be like, no, not now. No, God. No, not right now. And He's like, yes, now. But our daily needs. Depending on Him daily. Again, we're so blessed to live in this country that we don't really have to do that. But there's so many, we do need Him every day. Jesus said, John 15:14, I believe it is, without me, ye can do nothing. You can do nothing without me. Amen. That applies to the lost just the same. I mean, every time, before I got saved, every time I went to go like this, it was there. The air was there. The oxygen was there. I could breathe. I can't do anything without Him. He's given me everything. Without me, ye can do nothing. God most certainly understands we have needs, but He already knows about them. See, we're naturally going to think of ourselves first. That's the first thing we're going to do is think about ourselves. I'm telling you, the first thing you're going to do is think about yourself. You know, no, my kids. Nope, you're going to think about yourself first. I've mentioned this before, but you look at some studies. The number one most dangerous place to be in a car is the passenger front seat. I think, why? Wouldn't it be the driver's seat? No. It's the passenger front seat is the most dangerous, most deadly seat in a vehicle. Because whenever anything bad happens, here's what the driver does. Shield themselves. That's the way it is. Instinct. I love my wife. I love my husband. I wouldn't do that. Yeah, but instinct. You just react and it's going to be boom. Take care of myself. Take care of myself. Natural. We're naturally going to do that. That's why part of being a disciple is us dying to ourselves, telling ourselves no. Okay, maybe I don't need this. God, I thought I needed this. It was just a want. I'm going to set that aside so that I can do what's needful, what's more important. See, it's all about priorities in our life. When we get down to really, we say we love God. Well, if we love God, it'll be proven in our actions. It'll come out in our actions. Let's go to John 15 with me, if you would, please. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look, if we're doing what we should, we're going to bring forth fruit. That's our actions. If we're abiding in Christ like we should, it's going to bring forth fruit. So if we say we love God, it'll be evidenced. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's fruit. I love you, Lord, then do you obey him? You obey him. Simple. It'll be proven by what we do. So if we're going to be dependent on him, we're going to be following him, we're going to be listening to him, we're going to desire him, then we will obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, who are you sharing the gospel with? What do you give to the Lord? I mean, whose soul are you praying for? What are we allowing into our home to influence our families and our children? I mean, there's so many areas this applies in, just all of our Christian life. Do we love God? Then it'll be evident through our actions. We need to recognize our need of Him in our daily life. Bread, as we look at it right here, give us this day our daily bread, is speaking of all that's needed to sustain life. It's using bread to represent everything you need to sustain life. Give us this day our daily bread. You have to have food. We need that. God, provide for everything my family needs. Give us the water, the shelter, the clothing. All of that we need, Lord, please provide those things for us, the necessities of life. That's how we should come to God. We need to recognize our utter dependence on Him. The spiritual application of praying for our daily bread speaks of our need for God's Word. Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, you know, talks about, man, I can't remember it. I don't know why. I was just thinking of it earlier. As soon as I see it, I'll remember it. Oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God Himself is making the analogy right there. Bread with the Word of God. So God's saying, yes, we need bread physically to live, but just as much as you need that, you need the Word of God. So as Christians, then as we are seeking our daily bread, Lord, provide for me, then, hey, are we getting in this book every day? Every day. Did anybody miss a meal today? Anybody in here miss a meal? Nope. How about anybody yesterday miss a meal? No? Day before that? You kidding me? What's wrong with you guys? We're hungry, amen, right? How about the day before that? A week ago from today. Last Wednesday, anybody? Last month, anybody miss a meal in the last 30 days? Someone might have fasted in the last 30 days. Nobody? What's wrong with you guys? You guys eat every day? Are you kidding me? How many of us missed reading our Bible in the last 30 days? Yeah? You miss reading our Bible? Missed a day? Give us this day our daily bread? God, we need you. This is what he's saying. You come to me in prayer. God, give me what I need. says, it's right there. If you're in here and you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one. See me after the service. I'll give you a Bible. Let's get that excuse out of the way. But no, really, I want you to have the Word of God. I do. If you need a Bible, I'll give you one. Here it is. God says, come get it. Come feast. And come to Him saying, God, show me something. God, help me. God, give me something. I need it. God, please help me. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows we need the Word of God. That's the spiritual application as we look at that. Let's turn real quick with me, if you would, to Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Just from Matthew, just go back a little bit. It's going to be after Joel, what's before Joel? Somebody, Hosea? Yeah, there we go. Hosea, Joel, Amos. I mix these little ones up all the time. Obadiah, Jonah. There we go. So if you're around there, you're going to find it. If you turn like three pages, you might miss it. Depends on your Bible, but I'll give you a page number if you want. Anybody? Yeah, those tabs will help you right there. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. See, Jesus said, hey, I want you to pray. I want my people to pray. You want to pray? Let me show you how to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us your word. We need it. Here's what he told in Amos' day when judgment was going to come because of all the wickedness that they'd done. They'd run after their idolatry. Look, they're forgetting God. They're leaving God behind. And here's what he says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. There's going to be starvation in the land. There's not going to be food for people to eat in the land. There's going to be nothing. They're going to be starving. But he says, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That should scare all of us. That should scare all of us. I'm telling you, I believe we're in a day right now where there's a famine in the land. There is so much nonsense that goes on for preaching that is not Bible preaching. There's a famine in the land. God said, I will send a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. What a sad day. What a horrible day. What an awful day to be running around looking for the word of God, trying to hear the word of the Lord, and you can't find it. You can't get it. And God says, that's why you need to pray. God, give us this day our daily bread. God, feed me. Give me this. We should cherish this book. People died so you could hold this book in your hand. They gave their life. They spilt their blood. Thousands. So you could hold this book. So you could have 10 copies of this at home, collecting dust. Give us this day our daily bread. See, we need an utter dependence on God. That's what that verse should remind us of in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give us what we need. Lord, I need you. I can't do this without you. I can't serve you without you. Boy, man, I've tried it without him before. It's no fun. I don't like it. It's no fun. There's such a huge difference of serving God with him and serving God without him, trying to do it on your own, and it's no fun on your own. We need him. We need to daily ask for his guiding hand. Are you utterly dependent on God? Do you wake up in the morning and think, Lord, I need you? Look, put yourself out on a limb then if you're not at that spot. Because it's easy to not be in that spot. It's easy to not be there because God does take care of us. Everyone in here, we're blessed. We have so much more than we need. So it's easy to not be in that spot. So put yourself out on a limb. Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to go out there and step out by faith and do some things for him. I mean, whether it's inviting somebody to church, whether it's sharing the gospel with them, whether it's coming out on Saturdays and going soul winning with us, I mean, whether it's starting to tithe, I mean, whatever it is, just do something to put you out there where you're dependent on God, where you're forced to be dependent on Him. Before it has to come to something like you lose your job and then your back's against the wall and you're forced to be dependent on Him. When you're here and you're like, I have nowhere else to go, Lord, help. Let's do it when we're over here. Lord, help. I have other places to go, Lord, but I want You. Help me. God, I need You. That should be the cry of our heart. Give us this day our daily bread, our utter dependence on Him. Let's pray.